Great day to bring a message. Great day to stand and say, I believe. I believe. When I was a boy of about 8 years old, 8 or 9, I had, like many children of that age, very vivid imagination. What happens to our imagination in life? I don't know, but early on it was full on. Things I saw on black and white television in the 60s could keep me awake at night. Very impressionable child I was. And because of this, I was sometimes afraid in the dark. Just push the pause button here. Welcome, Don. Great to see you. So, because of my imagination, I was sometimes very afraid, and I'd lie very still in my bed and wrap the blankets as tightly around me as I could, try and feel safe. Things lurked under my bed. Who else can relate to this? Okay, so the other way of overcoming my fear was to look at the slot of light that came from under the door, because in the hallway, it reflected off the lino. And that narrow slot of light was a comfort, and it assured me that my parents were up in the next room. It was okay. My bedroom might be scary, but the light told me they're there and it's okay. And sometimes I'd bravely leave my bed, you know, hold your breath, and open the door just a bit so that not only the bottom let the light through, but the side as well, where the door closed along its length. That would allow more light to come, and I just feel safe. After the crucifixion, the disciples of Jesus were in a very dark space. The brutal death of Jesus had snuffed out their hopes and their dreams. Everything was shattered. It was total loss. They were in shock. And I don't say that lightly, real shock. Imagining and dreading what was going to happen next to them. Because if they did that to Jesus and we're associated with him, they'll come for us next. And then the unexpected and the unbelievable, at least at first, happened. The one-way door to death, which had been slammed shut on the Jesus they loved, was found to be open. The one-way door, which had never released anyone from its hold, was open for Jesus to come back. He who was dead 3 days somehow, without a witness to the event, because no one saw the resurrection. You can guess what actually happened. All we know is he was dead, he's alive. But that, without witnesses, in metaphorical terms, the door had its hinges wrenched, its timbers splintered, and could never be sealed and locked again. It was such that the door was just, to use a term Christchurch people used after the earthquake, it was munted. And like any door which has been kicked in or blown off its hinges, the door of death was kind of there. It sort of hangs, but it's done as a door. It can't close. It can't lock. Do you ever lived with a door like that? I don't know, some tramping huts are pretty basic. You've got something which is trying to be a door. And if the wind blows, just you have to use something else to try and keep it shut and sealed. The door of death is now a door that can't close and can't seal. And without repair, it's only a matter of time before it falls off its hinges altogether. That's what the resurrection did. And just as my childhood fear of the dark was overcome by a shaft of light that came in through the gaps, the resurrection of Jesus with so much more light, it took these demoralized disciples, dithering, locked up, hiding. It took them in that state, and they became people full of life, confidence, faith, and boldness. And as the Romans would later say, they began to turn the world upside down. The return of Jesus meant that Jesus was greater than the murderous forces of evil that would oppose him. That's something we celebrated in that opening creed that Barbara had us say. Jesus is Lord because he's overcome everything that could be thrown at him. Death was no longer the final sanction, and people could live today without being terrorized by what had been a one-way door of death. Following Jesus, and we talk a lot here about following Jesus. Take up your cross. Follow was the Good Friday message. Following Jesus involves following him in his victory over death, and entering into that same resurrection mode of being that he was now seen to have. Being the same person, and yet new. Same, but transformed for all eternity. The light of the resurrection still leaks out of every attempt to smother it. We can't have people coming back from the dead. We can't have people believing there's more to life than what you see. But the light breaks through all that. And it beckons us now to be fully alive. Not because there's no tomorrow, but because Jesus has won and tomorrow is his. Jesus is Lord. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Jesus, to use a word that really should resonate for New Zealanders, has pioneered the way forward through what still may seem a very tight seal of death. The light from the empty tomb may shine into our sometimes dark existence. Life isn't always full-on sunshine. We know shadows, but the resurrection light may be seen and just assures us in that our destiny and our purpose beyond that door is in Christ. It wipes away the foolish worries which tie up our stomachs and knots, as mine was as a little child. And it leads us to live, really live, not being in prisons of our own making or prisons of fear and hopelessness. Next screen, please. You're two screens ahead of me. That's the one. Thank you. There's a very New Zealand scene. My daughter's an alpinist. She sends me pictures like this. This is where I am this morning, Dad. The risen Christ is our trailblazer. And I love that picture because there is someone on an adventure, on a dangerous journey, and before them in the light is the trailblazer, the team leader. We are free to follow and obey. Sometimes Christians break out in conversations about freedom. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Free to do what? To follow and obey. Whatever may befall us on this journey, we follow one who has made the journey and opened the door never to close. Paul will say later, if we die with him, we will rise with him. So the door of our journey to God has been opened, ruined, and will not reseal. That's why there's actually nothing on earth that can stop the church. Now, that's a funny thing to say in New Zealand today, where the church is seen as not only last century, but a bit passé, not of this time. But history tells us again and again and again that the church can't be stopped. It's incredible what's happening in some parts of the world to try and snuff out the church. That's why the rulers of Jerusalem and Rome could not shut the disciples' mouths. The first experience of the church was for 300 years, the Romans burnt, fried alive, fed Christians to the lions, tortured, did whatever they could do before they realized it didn't work. Historical fact, it didn't work. Why not? Because these Christians were not afraid of death. They looked through it. There was an open door. Yes, you can do what you want to us now, but you haven't got us. That heard about the open and the empty tomb and met the risen Christ. And so, being unable to beat the Christians, the Romans joined them. Western civilization springs a great deal from that. What I'm saying here is not widely accepted today. We hear so much that's directly opposite, usually very subtle, because nobody wants a serious conversation about religion, do they? No. Leave it to the advertisers. And every media, the false prophets of advertising, tell us that what you see is all there is, the side of death. They say there's nothing beyond the door, no future, only the present. So they tell us in one commercial break after another that you are a consumer. I hate that word. Came in the 80s, in my understanding, or maybe the 70s. I am a consumer. No way. And you're only alive as long as you consume now. So gather, get, enjoy, live up. The more goods and services you can take in, the more alive you are, so the logic goes. For them, death is the end. The account closes. Money no longer flows. So you must stretch it out and pad your life as much as possible. But for me, the resurrection of Jesus is like the shaft of light which comforted me as a child. And it breaks through that. It says, no. That's not the whole map. That's not the whole deal. And I can live my life now in the light of what comes from beyond that door, beyond the dark. Because it's like the pilot light of my destiny. What God has for me beyond now, beyond the grave. And there are times when I sense it now. Sensing the future now. There's nothing, it's something Paul talks about quite a bit. Resurrection power, resurrection life, experienced as it were as an appetizer now. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. It's encouraging. That's so in opposition to the kind of cynical dog eat dog quest for self-gratification during our life here and now. There's more. We see our future and it can shape our present. That's why the church is unstoppable when it gets this. And through this, we gain a vision of where we are going, and it empowers us to live according to that vision. Eternal values. The resurrection is the only clue we have. I'm sometimes asked about what we can hope for in God's eternity. What will heaven be like? What do you think happens when I die? My best answer is to say the resurrection is our best and only clue. The resurrection is our best and only clue. What Jesus did or what happened to him is what we can expect. Look there. Don't try and build up a picture apart from that. It's the only clue, but it's a big one. For us, I'll have that last screen now, thanks. For us who believe this, the resurrection of Jesus is the foundational belief with which everything has to comply. That's why we say Jesus is Lord, because of the resurrection. You take the resurrection out of the Christian story, you're not left with much. It collapses. It would collapse just as it did for those first disciples after Jesus' crucifixion. And it's not simply a doctrinal clip-on or a comforting story to pull out at funerals or when we think about death. Instead, faith in Jesus crucified and risen is the basis for everything. Without that, everything we do as church is kind of, well, empty, nice, powerless, but without significance. You probably may already be thinking of what St. Paul wrote to the Corinthians about this. For if this life only we have hoped in Christ, we of all people are most to be pitied. That's pretty gutsy, isn't it? If we only hope in Christ because of what happens before the grave, we're a sad bunch. We're to be pitied. Without the light of Christ's resurrection shining in our minds and our hearts, we will slowly succumb to the false media prophets who say, this is all there is and there ain't no more, so make the most of it before you go to the worms. The radiance of the resurrection is the radiance of heaven shining among us on earth. Our task as Christians is to live this, to dare to live lives in the light of that open door. And in so doing, say no to those who say, death is the end, there is nothing more. You don't have to convert them. Don't have to convince them. Just don't agree with them. The Lord is risen.